Subject of targets. We're wrapping it up. We've got about three more. I think there's three more after me. I like it, where the body of Christ is under attack and how we fight back. I learned quite a bit about this week. This is the first time, a couple things. This is the first time that I've been up here for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, I think. Last time I come up, I just got to get this off my chest. But last time I was teaching, I really got hit hard afterwards. And because of the way that my MO is, because of the way that I teach, I went against what the Holy Spirit was telling me, or how to change, how to go a different route. And it, in my opinion, it fell flat. I didn't do what the Lord told me to do. It seemed like it was just horrid. In my opinion, got some nice words afterwards and such. But I even told Jeff, I don't want to teach. And he was gracious enough to keep me off the schedule for a while, because there were some things I think I had to work through. And he was nice. But that's another little area that Satan loves to attack, isn't it? I mean, during his last couple weeks, actually, since we started doing the Target series, he's really been opening up my eyes to a lot of different things. Especially this attacking thing. For some reason, I was tracking differently when we start talking these targets. And I don't know why I didn't think this, and maybe everyone else did, and I was just out there, is the targets are on us, all over us. It's the arrows that are being shot at those targets. And those arrows are being shot by, as we know, the evil one. Is it the big dude? I doubt it. But he's got a lot of little minions running around that just loves to bug us. And they know the targets. They have a quiver full of arrows to shoot at these targets that we have all over us. Whatever it is, whether it's what I'm talking on today, finances, whether it's time that Jim talked about, emotions, we can go on and on and on. And all these arrows are different for everybody. They're completely different. So if you were tracking with that, amen, I wasn't. Only knowing now that his little guys, that Satan's throwing around, they're good little archers. They are really good at what they do. I mean, the arrows of deception, the arrows of lies, the arrows of depression, the arrows, you just go on and on and on. So when Jeff came up, he even told us, when Jeff came up and said, oh, we're going to go on targets, and he asked myself, Scott, Kevin, to join him with this, he gave us all the subjects. I looked at all of them, there's 12, and I said, gosh, there's 6 of them there I could do pretty well at, because I've been hit on all this stuff. So I chose 4. I could do this really, really well. Well, Jeff said just 1. So I chose finances. Jim and Kevin and Scott were really happy I chose that, because they didn't want it. But years ago, the Lord had told me that I would be talking on finances. And immediately that's when some of these arrows started coming. I'm not worthy. I'm lower than pond scum. I have nothing to say on finances. It was bad during those times. But I knew I had to, so I put my name on finances. And that was back in December, I think, is when Jeff came about. And I was starting to get real excited about talking finances. It's like, this is really cool. I'm going to talk on what you want me to talk on. I was doing a bunch of mental thinking. As I drive, I can do that. I can think, and I play things in my head. And it was coming together really well. It was almost like I wish I could hit my nose and spew out everything that I was thinking. I mean, it would be great. It would be awesome. But I try to keep that all in perspective, and I'm thinking about that. And then when Jeff came up with this cool little picture, we've seen that. the targets. And that guy's talking to the other deer with the target, you know, bummer howl. I mean, that's a birthmark. What a place to have a birthmark, a big old target. I was that way. It's like, why do I have this birthmark on targets? It really, really does stink. It stinks. So as I was starting to prepare all this stuff, my thought is I sit down, go through the Bible, figure out what I want to say, pull up all kinds of stats, especially on finances. There's tons of stats of how we are wearing these targets, how our nation is wearing these targets. I mean, it's just horrible. And so I was going on and on and on. And then a couple weeks ago, I was on my computer and things were kind of flowing well. All of a sudden, boom, my mind stopped thinking. Everything that I had been done, it's like gone. It's like, what in the heck? Went up, did something around the house, came back, sat down, started writing again. Nothing. Nothing at all. So, okay, fine. Stopped writing. That night, which was a Thursday night, I woke up middle of the night, and all I heard was, keep it simple. Okay, great. I'll keep it simple. What do you mean, keeping it simple? Because that's not me. I mean, when Tam and I want to buy something or purchase something, when we purchased our fifth wheel, I spent 6 months trying to figure out everything, comparing this one, that one, that one over here, why this, why that. I mean, exhaustive. It drove her crazy. It was just exhaustive. And that's the way I do it. So that's how I was approaching this. He said, keep it simple. So I started thinking, okay, I'll keep it simple. Started talking to people around here, Jeff and Don and Kevin. And whenever I just kind of talk, it just flowed easy. Just kind of flowed. Then I'd come back to the computer and start writing stuff down. And nothing. It would stop. And I would go back to a couple years ago. And I heard again, keep it simple. Be patient. And just talk. So I decided to go ahead and argue with God a little bit more. That does not work. I've said it many times. If you want to argue with God, you're going to lose. You're going to lose big. And that's exactly what was happening. I wanted to put myself in a place of where people that I enjoy listening to kind of walk and talk like them. That isn't what he wants. Make sure I got 4 Bible verses. Make sure that I have maybe a video, a couple quotes out of a book. Then that's a perfect teaching message. Lord's saying, nah, that isn't the perfect teaching message. I just want you to talk. So I said, okay, I would do that. That's probably one of the smartest things. So today we're just going to talk some. It was pretty obvious as I was moving through with finances, as I was moving through this, that I did have to come up with some things for me. So you're going to see some PowerPoints because it's just going to try and keep me on track. It's going to keep me moving forward and in the right direction. So we are going on finances. It isn't the most fun thing to talk about in some people's minds. But Tammy and I have a pretty extensive knowledge of finances. Not in a good way now. In the bad way. In the way that our targets, as we were growing up, were huge. They were monstrous. And Satan knew exactly what to do with them. They were his little friends. So it's how Satan likes to target us and our finances to disrupt the advances in the kingdom. That's really what it comes down to. It comes down to a lot of other stuff, but it comes down to what are we going to do for the kingdom. Tammy and I have, and I'm going to be talking a lot about Tammy and I. We've gone the gamut. Having, not having, having. We know what it's like, and it's just her and I. Everyone else at some point might have dealt with finances in a completely different way than what we have. So when I start talking about targets and when I start talking about not having the targets of what we did, that's what we did. It's not what anyone else did. Because these little minions know the arrows to shoot at your targets. and they're different than ours. I don't have the answers at all. But I do have a disclaimer. I love disclaimers. That way you guys won't come after me. I'm not here to convince you to give more of your finances or less of your finances. That is not what this is about. That's going to be between you and the Holy Spirit. We do believe in tithing. We do believe in giving and offerings, as it says up there. And those three are different. This is not what I'm going to talk about today. Probably another time, because they are different. I'm not here to cast judgment. Judgment sucks. We know. It hurts. And it feels that way. That is one of the targets that was always on my back, is people are judging me about my finances. And I would get those arrows all the time. We'll talk about that. I'm here to talk about how we are targeted. I also want to talk about how to make those targets smaller. They will never, ever disappear. They won't, at least for us. We're in a season now of abundance. But those targets are still stinking there. They are still there. This has nothing to do about her and I. It's just that I don't want to use anyone else as an example. I want to use us. Because I don't know where everyone else is at, or where they've come from, or where they're going. So it would be foolish for me to try and do that. I don't have all the keys. Tam and I don't have all the keys to get out of or into financial abundance or trouble. But our key ring is big, and there's a lot of keys on it. If you want to take a key, take one. See if it works. If you don't want to take a key, don't. It's not convincing any of that. The only truth that we have learned about finances is it's a heart issue. It truly is a heart issue. What is the Lord asking you to do or asking us to do? John 10:10 reads, "A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." That's a great verse. He wants to give us everything in abundance. We're living that. Her and I are living that right now. But we also live the very first part. He wanted to steal everything. He did a good job. He wanted to slaughter us as a couple, as a family. He tried on that one. Didn't work too well. We actually grew stronger. And he really wanted to destroy us. He tried that a few times. You might be in the same boat. But there's a couple things that he showed me. So let me ask you a couple questions. Who does not know what this is? Does somebody not know what this is? Everyone knows what it is? That's awesome. I think if I was at a little bit younger of a church and I held this up, they would have no clue what it is. It is a checkbook. Little thing, 3x6, with a bunch of paper inside. The Lord told me when I was going through this process, because I asked him, I said, show me where I was at. Show me why I struggled with my finances. I wanted to know where it started. And he brought up the checkbook thing. When I was younger, I'd say 12, 13-ish, somewhere in that range, I was taught, not knowing I was taught, that finances was a thing of arguments and contention and fights. By watching my mom and dad, they fought. They didn't fight every day over finances, obviously not. Some of you may not know this because you are much younger. So when we wrote a check, way back when you wrote a check, it went from the person who you wrote it to your bank. Your bank did whatever it did, put it in an envelope, and at the end of the month, or the first of every month, you got an envelope full of all your canceled checks. Does anyone remember that at all? It doesn't happen anymore. I think that's a key point as well. But so my sister and I would get off the bus, we'd walk and grab the mail, We knew if it was the third, fourth, or fifth of the month, and we walked in with U.S. Bank envelope with thick thing, we know, holy smokes, it's not going to be a fun night. Because mom and dad would sit at the dining room table, match up all the checks, just like, I mean, they match up the checks, make sure everything is right, and all the time it was wrong. Mom didn't write down something or didn't record something, and it was a fight. It was an argument. My dad was so specific when it even got down to, you know, $2 or $3. If it didn't balance, it was my mom's fault. And it was, and they would fight and argue over this. And that's the Lord said, that's where it started. Because as I grew up, I didn't want anything to do with this thing. Nothing. When Tammy and I got together, I did not take that role, neither did she. That's okay. So we just kind of let it flow. The schools were starting to eliminate teaching personal finance at that time, which is a shame. Schools don't teach anything on finance now. Is that right, Miranda? You're probably one of the youngest one in here. They don't teach it. That's about it. And there's hardly any checks. Tammy and I write 4, maybe 5 checks a month. That's it. That is it. During all that time, so what we would do, of course, they eliminated sending canceled checks, so they just send you a bank statement. It had your checks that have already cleared. You check them off and such. But when Tammy and I started getting these little notices that said ODF, what is ODF? Oh, overdraft fees. Holy smokes, what are those? That's when, again, it started. The arguing over this little thing. We were doing pretty well. We were young. We were 21, 22. I was working for Portland General Electric. Part of my job, I was making at that time, I was making about $24 an hour. That's a lot of money back then. I mean, that was 1985, 86, somewhere in there. Anyway, we wanted to keep up with everybody. We could go out and buy the cars. We can go out and buy the VCR. VCR? Yeah, we can go out and buy a VCR. Holy smokes. I remember that was one of the first things we bought was a VCR, and it was expensive. Wow. Anyway, and then we walked into Montgomery Ward, if you remember Montgomery Ward. They were giving out credit cards like nothing. I mean, you guys remember that, right? I mean, here's your credit card. Oh, we thought we were heaven. Not knowing what to do with all that stuff. But it was debt. Now I can look back. I mean, obviously back then we were oblivious, completely oblivious. So we got into debt, like a lot of young people. Nobody taught us at all. And we started, whenever we would go to church, because we still went to church, we didn't have any money, so we didn't want to hear anything. So let me ask this question. Let's see who is honest. I have a Mountain Dew. You just need little Cadbury eggs. The real ones that really stink, I don't like them. These caramel ones. Yeah, yeah. I think the person who developed these little guys, they're a Hall of Fame candy maker. I don't do a whole lot of candy anymore like I used to, but you'll write me a check for them. Yeah, you want them for your wife. That's what you want. You want them for your wife. But yeah, those little belly balms are awesome. And so, I mean, just the hard chocolate and the caramel inside, it just oozes, you know, huh, Dwayne?
Yeah, get to the question.
So I want to say who's honest. And if nobody has done this, then that's great. Then we're in a lot better shape than what I thought. Let me ask this question. So as you were growing up, whether it was on TV, whether it was at a church, whether it was anywhere, when you walked into a church and they started talking about tithing or offering or some kind of finances, did your eyes glaze over and your mind check out that you didn't want to hear squat about that? Anybody? Yeah? I saw, see, now all you guys did that. Now I don't know what to do with these little guys. What I've seen, what the Lord told me, is that was another little target of the enemy. So there was a lot of you. Coming your way. Come on, catch. I got two more. Who else had that same thing? Kevin, you better take one. No, this is from your wife. This is for your wife. Who else? Becca. And I got Mountain Dew for another thing. In case someone eats it and starts choking, they can come and grab the Mountain Dew. But this is where Tammy and I were at. We're making this money, but we're not doing what we were supposed to do. So we would go to church. Very rarely did Shekinah talk about money. We had buckets up here, or, you know, didn't pass things around. But we felt horrible because we couldn't do what we knew biblically was correct. We couldn't tithe, or we couldn't give, or we couldn't give do anything. That's a nice little target for me to show up. It's a target for all of us if we felt that way. Those arrows came, and we started judging ourselves. I felt like pond scum because all the prayers that I prayed weren't being answered. Oh, God, get me out of this. Get me out of this. Get me out of this. And I'm sure he tried, but I continued to not do what he tried to tell me to do. Churches are a big thing. We can see it now. You have big churches, big mega churches. It seems like all they talk about is money. That's it. I'd go to these churches, not these particular churches, but it's like, why are they just talking about money? Then you go to another church, the complete opposite. They wouldn't talk finances one, not one, because they're afraid of offending people. Because of these other big churches, people saw them get squandered away. I mean, we saw social media and all these big names that get in jail. And I mean, it seemed like it always got blamed on finances. So I had to ask the Lord, how important are finances to you, to him? That was my question. How important, Lord? How important are the finances to our King? How many verses are there in the Bible? Let's take some guesses. Less than 100, about 200 to 500, less than 1,000 or over 2,000. Everyone have an idea? Yeah? Over 2,000? Anyone think it's less than that? The answer is correct. It's over 2,000. That's a lot of verses. I did not, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, read them all. I was not going to read them all. I refused to read them all. Over 2,000. Here's another neat little quibble. The Bible contains roughly 500 verses on prayer and faith. That's the whole Bible, old and new. But well over 2,000 verses on money. And approximately 40% of Jesus' parables deal with money. It's obvious that God has plenty to say about wealth and giving and money. So why are churches afraid to talk about it? Not only do we as humans, as individuals, get these little targets on us, so do churches. They get targets as well. Why not? They're trying to do what? Advance that kingdom. So why wouldn't they? Because they're afraid of judging people. They're afraid of offending. A lot of churches that I've heard and I've been to, they start talking about this money of give, 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 and all your troubles will be gone. That's a lie from the pit of hell, as deep as it will go. It's horrible. But people listen to it, and people buy into that lie. Another target. Another target. So, this statement here. Satan wants nothing more to enter certain areas of our life, your life, my life, so we can gain a stronghold. He'll try anything to throw you off center, distract you from your focus, and render you ineffective for the kingdom of God. Crosswalk.com has that. A lot of cool stuff on that one. Ineffective. So all of a sudden we're living in the world. Tammy and I are living in the world. All of us are living in the world. And it's a we can get it now world, isn't it? We can go and buy the car. We can go and buy the VCR. We can go and buy, well, no VCRs. We can go and buy the latest and greatest. Oh, you got credit. Years and years ago, probably some of you in this room probably remember when there wasn't credit. I don't ever remember that. I mean, I've asked my son. They've lived with ATM and debit cards all their life. All their life. Isn't that something? I can remember when we didn't have it. We had a checkbook, a Montgomery Ward credit card, and cash. And cash was in short supply because it was all going to my debt. Pretty sad. So all these targets come, and they just don't apply to our finances. Jim spoke on time, if you guys remember right. One thing I got out of Jim's time was, what am I doing with my time? I loved Facebook. Loved it. There's some cool games on there. I hated the politics of it, but I entered into that fray. But I would spend an inordinate, horrible amount of time on Facebook. So I took one of Jim's thing is, what are you doing with that? So I had to question that. So the first part of January, right after Jim's talking, I just deleted my account. Best thing in my life. Not saying you have to, by any stretch of imagination, but for me, I had to get that target away. I had to get it off my back. And that was the only way for that one to do that. Once I did that, my time was awesome. That stronghold of being held of, oh, you have to do Facebook, was gone. It just kind of fell right off. I can now read. I listen to a lot of worship. It is really, really cool. So if there's something like that, I mean, so all these little targets on there as well. So we're going to talk about, boy, why is everything not... Kevin, how do I go back? How do I go back a slide? There it is. So we're going to talk about when he was talking about the ineffectiveness and the strongholds. And permit me, I'm probably going to be kind of vulnerable from now until the end, if I haven't already. Not meaning to slime on anybody, but this stuff is real. And going through and being in a church, it's real. But it's not talked about on an individual basis. It's not even talked about really as a church or as a body. I mean, Jeff mentioned it last week. Our church had some financial difficulties. I can't remember how many years ago it was. But when six other churches came together and wrote us a check, took an offering for us, that was awesome. That was showing the love that God has for his body. It was amazing. But it's still that ineffectiveness. In the late 1990s, the perfect storm hit for Tammy and I. It was not a fun time at all. It was probably financially the worst time of our lives. When you're in some kind of a financial, it doesn't matter if it's financial or whatever, one of the targets that we got on us was each other. Fighting and arguing and just, it was unceasing because our minds were on our finances. That's where my mind was. How can I get out of this? Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, it's your fault. That's kind of a bad one. I wouldn't recommend that one at all. But I had lost my job, and I didn't have a job for 6 months. So that was a long time. So obviously during that time, we lost our insurance. That hurts too. Our oldest son got very, very sick, extremely sick. And that was coming off of Katie being, you know, she's medically challenged as well, but she was doing well during this time. So I kind of went back and forth. One thing that we can look back at now, Satan knows the targets on our backs that affect us and what arrows to start shooting at us. He knows two things. This is medical stuff and financial. Now, you might be something else. It might be time. It might be health. It might be the shifting sands that Jeff talked about. It might be something else. But for us, Satan knew pretty early on, obviously with this and me growing up, finances is going to be a big target for me to play with. And Lord, did he play with that one, as well as our finance, as well as our medical stuff. Tammy would go to the store with a nice checkbook, because we had no cash, knowing that, okay, I'm getting paid in 2 days. Fred Meyers, you can write a check. It won't go in for 3 days, and you can buy a gallon of milk for $1.50. Let's write a check for $1.50 because we had no money. She would like to get a candy bar. At that time, they were 60 cents. They're more expensive now. But we didn't even have 60 cents. Nothing at all. It's pretty sad. But it's where we were at, and we just continued to fight. So we started looking at everything. We owed over $300,000 in medical bills, just in medical bills. And that was after the hospitals were so gracious and cut stuff off. What is it called, the bridge? Something like that? Yeah, whatever assistance. Horrible stuff. We did not have a dollar to our name to do anything. We were literally bankrupt. Literally. In fact, we had to file that. Worst time in our lives was right there. Worst time in my life. I'm the husband. I'm the provider. I failed. Oh, God, you failed me. Oh, God, you failed us. If I had a dollar for every time we went to God crying and screaming, I wouldn't be up here talking about this. That's how much we went to him. Said, holy smokes, this is horrible. It was those monstrous targets on us, mainly me. But the one thing that hit hard on that was shame. Shame was, that was a big target all over me. Very few people knew about it. But when I would walk into church, it was all over me. I put it there. Well, Satan put it there. But I was walking in it, thinking everyone's judging me. Everyone's judging us. We failed. Oh, there's tithes and offering baskets. I can't do what you... It was just horrible. And I'm sure that, I mean, other people, there's maybe not that severe. But the shame is a big one. If shame is on you, especially in area of finances, figure out how to get that off. That freezes you. Fear gripped me like nothing else. I was paralyzed. What do I do? What do I do? Oftentimes we would weep together because we don't know what to do. Now, it was nice getting the bankruptcy done. We didn't have people calling us all the time. So that was gone. But I still felt like a failure because I entered into a contract with those places and I failed. I didn't do what I was supposed to do as a husband, as the provider. Wouldn't want to go to church at all. Another good target. Huh, let's see if I can do this. He's not going to want to go to church. He's not going to want to listen to what Jesus wants or how much he's loved. You're not worthy, Patrick. You're lower than pond scum. People are looking at you. They aren't. That's just the neat targets that he's shooting at you. So attending church was not fun. But we did. Tammy made sure that we did go, and we continued to go. A person would think that, and it is, that would be the worst part. A couple years into our refinancing stuff, something happened again. Completely out of our control. 100% out of our control. But we had to weather through it. And it was so difficult. I was thinking, now I could look back. That was the final arrow that he wanted to take us out on. This second thing. I'm not going to go into that. But it's like, shoot this one. This is going to take their whole family out. It's going to take the whole family out. But we weathered through that. We did what we were supposed to do. It was, oh God, oh God. That's when things started to take a change. I don't like being a Debbie Downer. But it was life for us. It was life. But our Father, you guys have to know, is such a good Father. He loves us so much. Let's see if I go back to. So he came to both Tammy and I. Remember, we still didn't have any money. We were coming out of this stuff. But he started whispering to me first about how much he loved me. Then he whispered to Tammy how much he loved him. Started taking away some of that. He started whispering to us his plans for us. Started saying, fear me. We're told to fear him. What he was doing is he was changing our hearts. That's what he was doing at this time, especially in that realm of money. The only thing different that changed for us was when we finally went to him. We did it probably at two different areas. And we gave everything to him. We're done. We can't do this ever again. We can't do it. I had to come and repent for a lot of what I was feeling and a lot of how I failed. And yeah, it was some of my failure, obviously. But I had to repent that. Once that started happening, things then started happening to the opposite. My work changed. Obviously, I had gotten a job and such. Things started happening. Customers started calling. Doors started opening. I have a base salary, and then I have a commission. All of a sudden, I started hitting these commissions. One month it's this, the next month it's this. Our bills are being covered. That's weird. That's really weird. Because they were never covered. And then here's a little bit of extra. That's cool. So then he started asking us, you guys need to start giving some of this away. You need to start giving it to the church. So I go to Tammy. Tammy, we need to start giving this away. Holy smokes. Coming out of what we just came out of, and now I'm saying we need to give money away? It wasn't very fun. But she knew that I had heard. And it's like, okay, we got to do this. So every Sunday we would ask them, Lord, how much do we want? How much do you want us to give today? Most of the time, he'd tell us the same number. So we would write a neat little check. And we had money to cover it, too. That was the cool thing. So she would write it. And a lot of times, she wouldn't have the same number as me. Mine was always higher. I liked that. And it wasn't just a feeling that she had, but she was gracious. She submitted to me, not submitted in what we hear the church and legalism talking about, but she submitted to, I'm the husband. Patrick has to do this. This is his job. So she would use it, she would write it down, but allowed us to grow together. But this is what is really cool. God's redemptive power in the whole thing. In the whole thing. Here's what that means. In Christianity, a redemptive act or quality is something that leads to freedom from the consequences of sin and evil. The redemptive power of Christ. It's the evil that I highlighted. Yeah, there's sin, obviously. But it was the evil. It was those arrows that were being shot at us. It was those arrows that I believed. Those lies. So those commissions started going up. He has to start giving. Great. Got to start giving. Then he really started saying things that was way outside my comfort zone. I mean, I was a wackadoodle. Time to start tithing. Now, remember, we've heard, even though I close my eyes, even though that a lot of us close our eyes when we go to church and they start talking about tithing and offerings and givings, we still heard it. Tithing is a tenth. Okay, we know that. This church believes that tithing is important. This church believes that tithing is all through the Bible. But we also believe it's a heart issue. But tithing is where what I had learned. You give your first fruits to the storehouse. The storehouse is where people go to get fed. That's just where they go. When you're needing something, you go to the storehouse. You gave your first fruits. So our first fruits always comes to evangel. This is my storehouse. This is your storehouse. This is where we come to fellowship, have fun, talk, do whatever. But Tammy and I took that into heart. But I said, Tammy, we have to start tithing. Tithing. She just got over giving. Now we're going to tithe? It was hard. It was really, really hard. And she struggled with that. And she told me I could say this. She went to Steve White. He was an elder here. Great guy. So she went to Steve White for some counsel. I can't do this. I don't like writing a check for that amount of money. I can't do this. But I have to because my husband, but I can't. She didn't want to do it. So Steve White told her this, and it has changed her thinking and the way that she does a lot of different things. Sometimes you have to act your way into feeling. She didn't feel it at all. She didn't feel like writing a check when I told her to write a check. But she acted her way out of obedience to that. It's changed everything. Not just the finances. She struggled with it. She didn't feel it. She and we did it out of obedience. But we noticed another strange thing when we started doing that. My commissions were becoming more and more. I was starting to have higher sales than anybody in the company. Again, we haven't done hardly anything different except now we're tithing. My boss said one time, he said, your sales, they're incredible. I said, yeah. He said, do you know when that started? No. He said, it started when you and Tammy started tithing. He could almost mark the day, if he was here, he's also my brother-in-law, he could probably mark the day that started happening. For us, that was a key. For us, that took a target off us. Because it's like, oh my gosh, we can trust what the Lord is saying. We can trust. What was a dreaded experience of sitting down and writing a check to the church, now, today, is an exciting one for us. We sit down, and look at our pay stubs, say 10% is this, check goes out, or it doesn't go out, she writes the check, I tell her how much, because I still kind of take care of, you know, tell her how much, she writes a check, she gives it to Katie puts it in the bucket. We've made it something for all of us. And it's an enjoyable thing with tithing. So what used to be dreaded is now fun. This is the same thing though with other biblical principles. Same with prayer, reading, spending time with our Father. Do it. Fake it if you have to. Act your way into it. Doesn't matter. But act your way into it. It gets easier and easier and easier. There are times when I sit down and I start reading a word, it's like I'm getting squat out of what I'm reading. What the heck does that mean? I know nothing in this. But I'm going to keep reading. And all of a sudden, something makes sense. Bing. Becomes difficult. Some interesting quotes. When we think of generosity, we often think of giving money freely, randomly, exuberantly, and at no real cost to our livelihood. Many of us are paralyzed by that definition. That was me. Using it as an excuse to hold tightly to my finances. I didn't have any finances to hold tightly to. But until they can afford to give, that was a lot of it. Oh, I'll give when I can afford it. I'll give when all these are done. I'll give. Yet living generously is not solely about money. First and foremost, it's about the heart. It's about our hearts. Then from Chris Valentin, going through trials to build your character so you can go through abundance and not be a fool. That's where we're living now, Tammy and I. Our character was built through the crap we went through. And it was bad. It was bad. But now we go to each other and ask for wisdom. Yeah, we have one thing to do. We have money that if the Lord sits back and says, Patrick, you need to go to South Dakota with Jerry and Leslie, I can do it. I don't have to worry about it. If the Lord says, Tammy, you need to give $500 to X or to this person, we talk about that. It's like, yep, we're hearing the Lord. Because not only now can we tithe, but we can give and we can do offerings. Generosity is a huge one for us. If we weren't generous, it would be really difficult. I mean, I'm not saying we'd go back into where we're at. But I can be more generous than Tammy, and that's a struggle. Especially when I was thinking about going to Africa, when Lisa and Susan went to Africa. Because I could take that money. I could take $1,000, give it to someone in Africa, and it would probably change their life forever. But is that wise? So we have to bounce things off each other. We have to. So looking back now, all the trials that we went through, everything that we went through, rendered us ineffective for the kingdom. Rendered us ineffective. We couldn't do what he asked us to do at any point in time. That hurt. Once our heart starts changing or started to change, that's what it is. So we can look back now. Now we are rendered effective in the kingdom. That's what's cool. If you look at this church, when we had our struggles, and the struggles are still real here, but we were ineffective. We couldn't do it. Now we're living in a little bit more abundance. We're becoming effective in the church, in the community, in the kingdom. Bill Johnson spoke. When they started their church, they were so small, but they were also so much in debt. There was one time he was telling a story that they could not pay their wages to the people that were in their church. Couldn't do it. So all the salaries were on hold. But he went to their CFO at the time. Now they call him CFO, is a person they might have just called a treasurer at that time. And said, you know what? We need to write a check to this church down the street. They're putting in a brand new parking lot, and they need some money. Bill Johnson said, I looked at him and said, we don't have any money. We don't have enough to pay you. We don't have enough to pay this person, this person. But we are called to be a generous givers. They wrote a check to there, and that's how they live their life in Bethel. They are a generous church. Look at them now. They're a pretty good example that God loves the church. Pretty good. Wasn't that interesting? I don't know who they are. But, so, a couple things. Let's see if I can cover it. Hey, okay. Our targets. Isn't that something? That must have been just a nice family. You know him? Jeez. So here's the question. Which target is easier to hit? Top one or the bottom one? Which one? Obviously, it's the bottom one. As I was going through this, and the Lord was kind of walking me through it, we have these targets all over us. It's when we start moving toward whatever God is telling us to move, it makes it more difficult for those little archers to hit the target. It makes it much more difficult. They're good archers when we're standing still, aren't they? They're good little demons. They're good when they can shoot a standing target really easy. But when it starts moving, those targets get smaller, and it makes it more difficult. They aren't eliminated. Believe me, they are not eliminated. We were talking, Tam and I were talking, and it just kind of goes through this finance thing. This was just yesterday. Sat down in the morning, was working on some of this stuff. She came out in the morning, we're talking, and we just talked. Talked about these finances. Again, like I said earlier, it's easy. It just kind of rolled. And so then she got up to make breakfast or get Katie ready, and I started writing stuff down, and it was gone right off me. Right? And so it's like, okay, well, I'll go out. I had some errands, ran some errands, and came back. Sat down, started working on my thing, and it just nothing was flowing well. So I had Tammy come and sit, and I said, here's what I got. And so we started talking about that. And we got in an argument. You aren't going to say that. Don't say that. These are all true. I mean, she's 100% correct. You know, maybe that isn't how you want to say that. Maybe this isn't, whatever. Okay, and I was getting so mad. Because nothing was coming to me. Nothing. And I said, I just shut the computer. I said, I'm going to go work out. She goes, yeah, you probably need to do that. She was right. But one of the things that she said when I left, she said, maybe you just need to keep it simple. Really? Why didn't I think of that? Came back after working out. She was gone doing something with Katie, and I sat down. And within an hour, I was done. Because I did, the Lord had to tell me again, just keep it simple. Just talk. Your life and what you went through is truth. It's real life. There are people in churches that we associate with that are going through similar things. You may never have gone through anything like that. You might have had the great discipline of finances and financial greatness. Praise God. But I bet you had something else that I didn't go through that I need to learn from you, because it might happen. So those targets are not going to be eliminated. They're still going to happen, whether you're in abundance or whether you're in need. But we really, really need to be moving in whatever discipline. If it's time, do something. We need to be effective in the kingdom. That's what he's asking us to do. That's what he's asking us. That's all I got. So, Lord, I just thank you for just loving us. I thank you for your redemptive power in me and what you can do. Such an amazing God, such an amazing provider. Lord, I pray that you be with Jeff and Jody as they're on their way back home, traveling mercies for them. Lord, be with Evangel, cover us, protect us as you always do. Lord, just open our hearts and let us move forward in whatever area we need to move. In your name we pray, amen. That's it. So we have, just so you know, we have Monday night Bible study. Wednesday night is still the discerner. We're still working in that. And so that's been really, really good. Somebody want Mountain Dew? Because I can't drink it. It's horrible stuff.